Now turn to part three. You'll hear a radio interview in which two web designers called Rob Thorne and Sophie Unwin are discussing aspects of their work. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
With me today are two website designers, Rob Thorne, who works freelance, and Sophie Unwin, a company employee, who are going to tell us something about their work. Sophie, how does what you do compare with the work of designers who deal with physical materials?
Well, I think for all designers, the key thing is enthusiasm for what you're doing. People talk about the constraints of technology, but technology is, after all, simply the medium we work with. It just happens to be a medium that changes all the time. As someone once said, the digital train waits for no one. Once you get off, it's very hard to catch up again. And as in any field of design, even web design, what you create needs to be something beautiful. But perhaps more importantly, it needs to be functional.
So, Sophie, what are the critical elements of a successful web design in your view?
It's best to remember that as far as clients are concerned, a website is good or bad depending on how much business it generates. They're not overly concerned with how pretty it looks, so that's a message for designers who pride themselves on pixel-perfect detail. A website that's just like so many others won't attract much attention, but anything really wacky and off the wall can be nearly as bad. The core of the design, though, is layout. Is it easy to find your way around and track down what you want to know? The way the information is illustrated often contributes to this.
I can see you nodding in agreement, Rob. Website design clearly covers many disciplines. How did you first get involved?
Computers have fascinated me since I was a kid. I started learning C++, my first computer language, when I was 13, and my dream was to be a game developer. After a few years, I could do simple games, but then the internet really took off and I got interested in websites. I learned some more languages and could see it was going to be easier to sell a website than a game. So I got started on graphics, which I needed for my web projects, but I soon found I was better at designing than writing code.
Sophie, you started out as a freelancer, but have now joined a company. How has that worked out for you?
Well, as a freelancer, I had to spend a lot more of my time with clients, and even though a typical freelance business is small, it still requires a degree of paperwork. And there were always odd things cropping up with that, things I hadn't foreseen. That can be unsettling. The main difference is I now spend 80% of my time designing and coding, which I love doing, and where I feel confident. I must say, though, that as a freelancer, the feeling of entrepreneurship, the freedom, and the sense of responsibility was something I relished.
Rob, you're a freelancer who has that sort of freedom. Tell us something about your relationship with clients.
First off, of course, you've got to convince a client you're an established professional, someone who turns up on time for meetings. But you also need to be the friendly guy he can trust. You need to trust him, too. I found those who start out with a whole lot of questions about money may well have problems paying. I prefer to tell them I'll get something done in, say, 2 weeks and surprise them by doing it in 10 days, rather than promising 5 days and missing the deadline. As for clients, and there are plenty, who have no design experience but do have crazily impractical ideas, I don't fight them. Just back my decisions with sound argument.
Finally, a question for both of you. Where does your inspiration come from? You first, Sophie.
I'd say anywhere and everywhere. If you can train yourself to get in the right frame of mind, a cloud in the sky or rainwater in a puddle can spark an idea. I do quite a lot of drawing and sometimes use my sketches in new projects, and I make sure I know what other designers are doing.
And there are certainly some brilliant ones around. Sophie talked earlier about rapid technological advances. It's an absolute must to know what's going on, but it's a means to an end. But inspiration, I think it's the way you look at what's around you, not what you look at, that counts.
Now you'll hear part three again.
With me today are two website designers, Rob Thorne, who works freelance, and Sophie Unwin, a company employee, who are going to tell us something about their work. Sophie, how does what you do compare with the work of designers who deal with physical materials?
Well, I think for all designers, the key thing is enthusiasm for what you're doing. People talk about the constraints of technology, but technology is, after all, simply the medium we work with. It just happens to be a medium that changes all the time. As someone once said, the digital train waits for no one. Once you get off, it's very hard to catch up again. And as in any field of design, even web design, what you create needs to be something beautiful, but perhaps more importantly, it needs to be functional.
So, Sophie, what are the critical elements of a successful web design in your view?
It's best to remember that as far as clients are concerned, a website is good or bad depending on how much business it generates. They're not overly concerned with how pretty it looks. So that's a message for designers who pride themselves on pixel-perfect detail. A website that's just like so many others won't attract much attention, but anything really wacky and off the wall can be nearly as bad. The core of the design, though, is layout. Is it easy to find your way around and track down what you want to know? The way the information is illustrated often contributes to this.
I can see you nodding in agreement, Rob. Website design clearly covers many disciplines. How did you first get involved?
Computers have fascinated me since I was a kid. I started learning C++, my first computer language, when I was 13, and my dream was to be a game developer. After a few years, I could do simple games, but then the internet really took off and I got interested in websites. I learned some more languages and could see it was going to be easier to sell a website than a game. So I got started on graphics, which I needed for my web projects. But I soon found I was better at designing than writing code.
Sophie, you started out as a freelancer, but have now joined a company. How has that worked out for you?
Well, as a freelancer, I had to spend a lot more of my time with clients. And even though a typical freelance business is small, it still requires a degree of paperwork. And there were always odd things cropping up with that, things I hadn't foreseen. That can be unsettling. The main difference is I now spend 80% of my time designing and coding, which I love doing, and where I feel confident. I must say, though, that as a freelancer, the feeling of entrepreneurship, the freedom, and the sense of responsibility was something I relished.
Rob, you're a freelancer who has that sort of freedom. Tell us something about your relationship with clients.
First off, of course, you've got to convince a client you're an established professional, someone who turns up on time for meetings. But you also need to be the friendly guy he can trust. You need to trust him too. I found those who start out with a whole lot of questions about money may well have problems paying. I prefer to tell them I'll get something done in, say, 2 weeks and surprise them by doing it in 10 days, rather than promising 5 days and missing the deadline. As for clients, and there are plenty, who have no design experience but do have crazily impractical ideas, I don't fight them. Just back my decisions with sound argument.
Finally, a question for both of you. Where does your inspiration come from? You first, Sophie.
I'd say anywhere and everywhere. If you can train yourself to get in the right frame of mind, a cloud in the sky or rainwater in a puddle can spark an idea. I do quite a lot of drawing and sometimes use my sketches in new projects, and I make sure I know what other designers are doing.
And there are certainly some brilliant ones around. Sophie talked earlier about rapid technological advances. It's an absolute must to know what's going on, but it's a means to an end. But inspiration, I think it's the way you look at what's around you, not what you look at, that counts.
That's the end of part 3.